I fought the law of one and the law.
The law of one. I fought. God, that's a good song. Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. This is Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about the law of one. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What was your first encounter with alien life?
Okay, I actually have a story. I don't know where you're going with this, but oh God. So my very first road trip. So, you know, my good friend who lives in Colorado now, we did a bunch of road trips together. And the very first one we took was from the East Coast to the West Coast and back. And one of the like detours we took along the way was it's called the Extraterrestrial Highway in Nevada. So it's where Area 51 is.
Yeah.
And so for people who've like never been there, it's in the middle of the desert. It's like 200 miles long. It's just this like stretch of road that has like no outlets, no highway, like nothing. And I remember before you even got on it, there's like a sign, like you better have a full tank of gas because there's no gas for another like 200 miles. And, but it's just like nothingness and desert. Like, I don't know how, like we didn't pass any other cars for 200 miles, but at one point, so we're like very close to Area 51 and there's, a UFO. I'm not kidding. I know you think I'm lying, but like, so we look up, we're like, holy shit, what is that? And I swear to God, it's like this sleek, triangular, like black object. And I swear to God, Jordan, that thing was going so fucking fast. Like you could not believe. And we look up like, oh my God. And we're like trying to like chase it. But as fast as it appeared, it like disappeared. And we were just baffled. But I mean, like, obviously it was like a government testing, whatever the fuck, but no, that was my first encounter with aliens. Like was an actual UFO outside of Area 51. And it was silent. And it was like, you know, when you see like jets, cause they're like the bomber jets or whatever that practice up here and you hear like them, the sound of speed and like how loud that like boom is.
Sound of speed.
Yeah. Whatever you call it. I'm not a nerd. So breaking the sound barrier, whatever the fuck, you know how it's like that sonic boom, but like it was just silent and it was faster than anything I've ever seen. So anyway, aliens are real, and I don't know what topic you've chosen or culture you've chosen, but
I might be intrigued. Yeah, this is a good start because you are closely aligned with a man named Don Elkins. And what became or what has become his movement, referred to as the Law of One, which is a series of 106 conversations, which they call sessions, between this man named Don Elkins, who was a professor of physics and a UFO investigator. So close to your heart, apparently. between this man and I get an entity named Ra, who was speaking through a woman named Carla Ruweckert. So in these conversations, Ra, was revealed to himself or itself or their self as a sixth density social memory complex that formed on Venus about 2.6 billion years ago. That Ra is it's unclear if it's a he or they or
wait,
or
so
them.
It's not R-A-W? Can I ask that?
No, it's R-A as in like the Egyptian god Ra. It's a good question. Ra states that they are humble messengers of the Law of One. And that they previously tried to spread their message in Egypt, with mixed results. The core concept behind Law of One is that we are all one person. Every single one of us, every single being in the universe is actually the same person. So you are me, I am you, and we are all part of this confederation of planets.
Stop you right there. As a white woman who practices yoga, all of this sounds accurate so far.
You're not wrong, though. Like, there is a strong, like, link to Hinduism to some degree, right?
Really?
It's a very, like, and we'll get into it, but it's like a very spiritual approach to like describing how the universe works. It's spiritual okay. meets science fiction, right? Where I think of something like Scientology as something more explicitly from the mind of a giant sci-fi tax evading nerd, right? Like, yeah. This is more like on the science fiction scale of people who were deep into spiritualism and like psychic reading type activities in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and kind of married that up with this very, I don't want to use the word bizarre, but kind of strange way of like thinking about the greater space-time universe. And then the community, of course, that has continued to grow around it, as is really what I want to talk about today. It's they're an interesting folk.
Do they call themselves something? Like, do they call them the oners or the one? Are they the 1%?
They call them. I mean, it depends on where you look, right? But like in their subreddit, they refer to themselves as the Law of One. And I think they're like the tagline in the subreddit is, the principle is that we are actually all one being, all are one, and one is all. It's confusing because everyone in the subreddit talks as individual entities to each other, right?
Yeah, shouldn't it just be non-existent? Because like everyone can read each other's mind. Like you don't right. have to have a subreddit because right. what I'm thinking, you're hearing, right? Like no need to type it out on an internet forum.
That mental telepathy thing is fundamental to this too. You're not wrong about that, because that is how the message of Ra was brought to the greater population, I guess. So this man named Don Elkins. He was born in 1930 in Kentucky. This guy's not dumb, right? He has a master's degree in mechanical engineering and a master's degree in general engineering. He taught at the University of Louisville. He taught at University of Alaska. He retired from teaching in 1965 and then becomes a pilot for the next two decades. So he's flying planes, but there's a reason for it. And the reason is he needs to fund his extraterrestrial research. And apparently his tenured professor salary is not paying the bills for what he needs.
It's not cutting it for the alien research.
Exactly. And like, the funniest part to me is just imagine you're that person on the plane, right? And you're being
flown. Wait, is he only driving one passenger planes?
Okay. Shut the hell up. imagine you're a passenger on one of his planes and like
I usually fly coach.
Regardless of where you're seated in the plane, that's the person flying you, right? This person who is, unbeknownst to you, using his paycheck from United Airlines or whatever to funnel research into UFO and psychic understanding of the greater universe.
I mean, you're really just kind of circling around my dream job right now. So
yeah, no, I think you'd be good at it.
I think so too.
Until the FAA grounds you. Yeah. So he's super interested in extraterrestrials in the 50s. He's talking to people who are receiving communications from extraterrestrials, right? But he's not like personally invested outside of, I think, kind of a passive interest. But his opinion of like the scientific community starts to become very anti-establishment. He starts to give lectures and speeches, even through like from the 50s on, but into the last years of his life in the 80s, where he's basically decrying, is that the right word, decrying? I should probably know how to speak in a podcast.
I mean,
yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. He's blasting the scientific community for not buying into this extraterrestrial research. So he has like a quote from in 1976, he's given a lecture, and he says something that I have chosen not to abide within the approved scientific method of verification of accepted data within the boundaries of currently accepted scientific opinion, because this method has proven totally ineffectual in dealing with this phenomenon. So
I mean, that's honestly a good point. Like, you can't expect aliens to abide by our, like, Earth rules down here. So wouldn't the law of physics and scientific proof be different?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of looking at it for sure, right? Like,
so far, I am in. So tell us.
Right.
Like, what's his research? So, like, how does... Because you said he has, like, 106, what, interviews, like, through a being?
Yeah.
A being called Ra?
Yeah.
So how does they convince some idiot to, like, think they're an alien named Ra?
So it's a... In the 60s, he... This is prior to his retirement to become a pilot, right? He takes 12 of his own best physics students. And this is when he starts to try basically to communicate with these extraterrestrial life forms the way the people he'd been contacting in the 50s had been. So he takes 12 of his best physics students, as well as a friend of one of those physics students, this woman, Carla Ruckert. So you've got like these 12 people who theoretically are really good at physics. And oh, here's Carla.
So I feel like when people invite me along to, like, you know, friend hangouts, it's like everyone's a couple. And oh, here's Brenna.
Right. Yeah. Here, you were the 13th wheel, right?
Like, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But I just love this, like, that she becomes so fundamental to this story. And yet she's the only one without any sort of academic or scientific background. And it should not surprise you that therefore she is the one that Ra chooses to be.
I was going to say, it's correlation causation here.
Yeah. To quote him, in the early 60s, we started an experiment here in Louisville, which had the objective of training people to get in the proper mental configurations so that with certain catalysts added, you might say they could receive telepathic information from UFO operatives. We started an experiment using what I called the gullibility factor.
Oh my God.
I made the assumption that it was going to be necessary to be gullible in order to be successful, because the experiment seems so naive that no one who was oriented toward orthodox scientific approaches to things would make such an attempt to create a channeled communication.
Hopefully this gets filtered out in the background, but my neighbor has been incessantly watching X-Files, and like, I don't hear the show, but I hear the music. So it's like when you were paused, I heard the X-Files music, you know, reverberate. So I thought that was timely.
I just think that it's a pretty profound statement to be like, I need people to believe in the dumbest things. Like, that's what, like, gullibility, right? Like, you need to be gullible in order to actually succeed.
Yeah, no, it's like a complete paradox, like intentionally right. So, right? But it does actually, I know what I was going to say, oh my God, it reminds me of hypnosis. Like, have you ever been to like a hypnosis show? Not like hypnosis therapy, but like a show?
Yeah, when I was in high school,
why is that like
graduation.
The high school? Ours too, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
From Maine to Seattle, yep.
Yeah, but what I remember, because there was also one at like our college, you know, freshman orientation or whatever, so it's like, anyway. But, you know, they ask for like volunteers, and you know how they go through rounds until you're like fully?
Yeah.
I feel like what I recall is like they say, you have to actually believe in it. Like, you can't actually come up here and not think you're going to fall asleep or something. Like, I do get like that receptivity, like to,
right.
It's almost like saying, do you have a predisposed bias towards what reality. I want to impart upon you? If you do, then you're out of here. Oh God.
No, I think that that's like a, probably what his intent was, right? Like, that's what he's trying to say, that like, you need to be able to, not be willing to see the world as it is necessarily, and be willing to open to like that there could be these other factors that break laws of science and reality as we know them. I think it's funny that he picked the word gullibility himself to describe that. But
instead of,
you know,
like openness or yeah. No.
Right. But yeah, so he gets these students together. It's an initial failure. None of them are actually able to communicate with these UFO operatives until he brings in one of his friends from the 50s who had been communicating. And suddenly, as this person is able to communicate directly in front of these group of students, with a snap of their fingers, they're all able to do so as well. So it just took one person showing them how, and after months of trying, they immediately are able to communicate with the UFOs themselves.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It was very fortunate that happened. But Carla, our friend Carla, was not able to, or she chose not to. It's not like her own documentation of this, like her own account of it, is kind of confusing, but she just says something that all the other channelers, as she calls them, were very active in how they were receiving messages, but she kind of refused to be part of that, and so wasn't receiving messages until 12 years later, when, as she describes it, all of the former students has gone on to other parts of their lives, adult working jobs, I would assume, of some sort. But she comes back. There's kind of secondhand accounts that she might have entered into a polygamous relationship with Don at the same time. But simultaneously to her returning, she is suddenly able to enter in an unconscious trance. Ooh. And is channeling this raw entity, RA entity.
don't say.
Yeah. and so that was January 15th, 1981. So that was her first session. And I think over the next couple of years, there's like 106 sessions where Dawn communicates to Ra through her. I guess it's the reverse. Ra communicates to Dawn.
Right.
Using her as the medium. He states a lot of things when we kind of started at the beginning of this. Kind of the core fundamental thing that Ra communicates is that there is only one, and that one is the infinite creator, infinite intelligence, and intelligent infinity.
Oh,
so that's mash a concept. Mash every word that starts with IN, and they're all combined. At the same time, he says it is impossible to describe one undifferentiated, intelligent infinity, unpolarized, full and whole. But you can activate it or potentiate it in order to understand it. I don't know what that means either.
I need, help to understand what you just said. That
you,
was
you need,
quite a mouthful.
You need medicinal help to understand.
Medicinal help, yeah.
He says each portion of creation contains, paradoxically, the whole. There's a lot of just explicit paradoxes in what he says. They're just taken unchallenged by Don in the actual conversations as you read them. I don't know. It gets kind of weird. He talks about like how there are distortions, and these are the things that move away from that wholeness that we all are a part of. But he includes things like love, which is like a positive distortion. I wasn't on any acid when I was reading this, so
sure?
I think some of it I didn't receive it well. But one of the core things he talks about is there's this concept of densities, and that that creation has seven levels of densities. It's like a musical scale where every level you go up until you eventually reach the eighth density, which is the start of the new density.
I'm sorry, is this still coming from Ra, or is this based on his research? And if it's based on research, like what?
This is Ra telling this to Don, at least Ra, as Don records it in his published account of this. And gotcha. Carla later backs up, even though she's unconscious during these trances. this is all coming from Ra. I won't go through all the densities, but the point is that we are in the third density, which takes place over 75,000 years. It is the density of self-awareness or consciousness of the spirit. The fourth density, which we are on the verge of, is the density of love or understanding. And those of us in the third density who have successfully chosen a path that comes together with others of like mind, if are part of our social memory complex, we'll be able to join the fourth density, which is going to be amazing. It lasts 30 million years.
God,
your lifespan will be about 90,000 years long.
No, thank you.
Your
hard
lifespan
pass
is,
on that
your
one.
Lifespan is 31 years too long already.
Wow, that's dark. That's dark.
Yeah, that's millennial.
Hey, no, I'm only 30. Stop good dick. We're gonna have to edit that out. That was just like my natural reaction.
No, I think that's fine. I can keep that. Yeah, and so at the end of all of these densities, like they, at some point, like you become light or wisdom incarnate. I think
isn't this like the idea of part Buddha? Of the gateway? Like, I mean, like, kind of, I mean that sincerely. Like,
no, I think you're right.
Don't you become Buddha at the end or something?
I don't want to destroy what little understanding I have.
It's good. Two white people just speculate about Eastern religion.
Yeah, right. So I'm gonna avoid that answer. But I do think there's a lot of a lot of influence from Eastern traditions. Yeah. In this, and what's interesting is Carla herself was a Christian woman, but as Ra is speaking through her, you know, there is these very kind of obvious ideas of spirituality that seems a lot more of like an Eastern approach to that, but it's a lot of what she says ties into biblical passages. Like there will be quotes from the Bible, right? And Jesus himself is kind of alluded to be part of this future social memory complex that was kind of sent to us as a receiver, right? So there's a clear attempt to marry all these disparate ideas of what our purpose and what the reason for our reality is, and so that covers the majority of what those conversations are. A couple years later, about 100, like I said, 106-ish sessions in, Don had been having psychotic breaks, I guess, through this period, and he ultimately kills himself in the mid-80s. It's not well-sourced, so like, don't take what I'm saying as pure gospel, because there isn't a lot of primary accounts of this, but that's kind of the best understanding. You know, it's clear he passed away.
Yeah.
It seems likely it was due to suicidal. It's not like there's an obituary that explicitly says that. But at that moment, or I guess past that moment where he passes away, Carla no longer contacts Ra. She says this was at Ra's suggestion. Again, it's a little confusing how Ra speaks through her to others, but at the same time can speak to her directly. But she's able to hear from Ra that her time as being a channel for him has spoiled her physical body. And so she moves on to contact other social memory complexes, which again are all part of the same us, but are distinct units at the same time. And she does that pretty much the rest of her life until she passes away in 2016. And so she has, you can find them on YouTube, just lectures and I think even videos of her channeling. Yes, this is all there.
Oh my God. I know what I'm doing the rest of the night.
Right.
Massive. I thought that was so good.
And that's the end.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, keep it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I will.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I mean that's the law of one as a concept. As you can imagine, the community is full of interesting people. If you look at the subreddit, like it's the kind of
people.
Can I go
on the subreddit right now? Is it just like
it's r/law of one. It's the kind of people I think you would expect. A lot of people who are confused, just as we are.
Okay, so it's more like speculative, normal people than it is actual followers.
It's a mix. I think would say they're mostly followers or people who really love the idea of what's being communicated. You know, it's a very social first idea that, you know, we're all the same person and so there's a lot of pathos and love talk, right? But I'd see you laughing.
One of the top questions is, does anyone know if anybody has pierced the veil into intelligent infinity?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. The answer is no.
And the veil is this weird concept where I guess tens or hundreds or millions of years ago, our human conscious is the separation of our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. And so that is what has like split us as people. And like the veil, like kind of piercing through the veil is like to bring yourself, you as an individual, yet all of us at the same time, you know, to a unified state.
Is this not, am I currently not fully conscious?
How much have you drank tonight? these people who like the idea, but at the same time don't really understand it, because it's hard to understand, mostly because I'm fairly certain all the people who were writing the documentation of it were tripping hard at the time they did so.
Are we actually blaming drugs for this?
I have a hard time believing you come up with some of this without drugs.
Well,
I don't consider myself like the most imaginative or creative person, but I think I have a fairly good imagination, and it's hard for me to conceive some of the concepts that they've put together here. I do think that's there true. Is like some of it shared from, you know, like I said, like psychic medium, Eastern spiritualism and so forth, but it's a pretty impressive combination of everything that just paradoxically allows it all to be true at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, there's lots of good discussion. So to your idea of UFO sightings, there's a discussion about how common UFO sightings are these days. Okay. And this is proof that that this is like Egyptian times, when apparently there were lots of UFO sightings, as well as Atlantean times, when the city of Atlantis existed and there were lots of UFOs, which, if I know you're unfamiliar, but for all our listeners out there, this is just the plot of the TV show Stargate. So like quite literally, but taken at complete face value by these wonderful people.
Oh my God. I did not see that going there.
there was a guy I was reading that was questioning how to resolve the parts that make sense to him, right? Which is, for example, he cites Jesus was a representative of an alien civilization. That one tracks. Mm-hmm. How do you resolve that with the parts that don't make sense to him? Like how Bigfoot is part of this whole story. or, you know, the city of Atlantis. Because yes, in these conversations, all of these are Ra saying, this is evidence of the positive path oriented alien civilizations that are around you in this confederation of planets that you're just unaware of. So, and of course the answers are that no one actually needs to pay attention to the parts they don't agree with.
So do you believe in UFOs? Because I feel like I know what the answer is going to be, but like you have this like weird kind of duality about it where you obviously believe in extraterrestrial life. I think you are definitely on the scale of believing there's something bigger out there for sure. Like we're such a small speck, but at the same time, you think people who report UFOs are like crackpots. So
that's a good question. Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it. Like I have a hard time believing that in the universe as big and stupid as the one we live in, that there isn't life somewhere out there. I think the laws of physics, which apparently don't apply in the law of one, but would make it very difficult for those intelligent species to actually show up on Earth. And I think there's more rational explanations for what people see every day. But you know, that's me, strictly rationalist until it no longer fits my worldview.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be a good gullible list.
No, I don't think I would be. I don't think Ra would choose me. I wish he would.
You wish, yeah.
There's a discussion about domesticating animals, where again, Ra splits the difference, because domesticating animals to some degree violates free will, especially since those animals are also us. But on some planets,
oh my God,
says the vegetarian.
Okay, well, we shouldn't kill them.
We shouldn't kill us, you mean? But yeah, so there are apparently pets on some planets, they're pets on some planets, and there's things that are described as the equivalent of horses or the equivalent of domesticated monkeys. But on the other hand, there is no planet out there where there is anything like the cow. That is very deliberately said. So, again, this is what I'm saying. No one can come up with this.
Well, someone came up with it.
Raw, but on a more serious note, there is a discussion about homosexuality.
Oh, okay.
So remember, this was done in the early 80s.
Okay. Right?
So I don't know what Raw was from a progressive standpoint at the time. But there's in one of the sessions, Dawn asks Raw about homosexuality specifically, and Raw essentially explains that homosexuality is an impairment, and it's because of aura infringement from urban areas.
Oh, no. No. Oh my yeah. God.
No, right, but don't worry.
I'm going to be honest. No, hey, yeah. I'm going to be honest. Like, this whole time we've been talking, I'm like, back in my head, I'm like, who's to say this isn't plausible? Like, who's to say this isn't real? And then you got to that. I'm like, oh, that pretty much cements it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but seriously, though.
The part where we're about to advance into beings that last 90,000 years.
We're still homophobic.
That was fine. But as soon as we're homophobes, that's the line.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fair. But he explains it, that he explains how you become gay, and that is in your incarnations, your previous incarnations. If 65% or greater of the time in your previous incarnations was a different gender than your current one,
what?
That makes you gay. So there's like a reincarnation aspect to this, right? And so if you're a man and 65% of the time your previous bodies were women, that makes you a gay man in your current form. I don't know how Ra did the math on that. I haven't seen the long division, right? But
well, you have to suspend your reality of what you think long division is.
I have to do the gullibility aspect of it. But yeah, that's the explanation for homosexuality. As you can imagine, the people who are discussing this are trying to rationalize it, right?
Yeah.
And especially the person I ended up asking was LGBT. And you know, the people who are advocating for this are basically saying, you know, you have to understand that this was, they give the contextual answer, which makes sense, but they give it within the context of their belief of it. So, you know, they talk about how in the 1980s, you know, this was before the gay rights movement for the most part, right? When if you were gay, you weren't able to marry, you weren't able to adopt, you had to often hide your identity, right? Mm-hmm. There was the AIDS epidemic starting. So they contextualize it, great, but then they use that to basically say Ra didn't understand. Which, but like, you know, but Ra understands so much else and is this greater being from this confederation of planets, but in this one specific moment we can explain away Ra's perspective on it. Yeah, but I think my favorite... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, my favorite topic, though, is the discussion of the female orgasm.
Oh, okay. Go on. I do love when a man explains a female orgasm, so this will be rich.
If I may, Ra is not a man. He is us. So he was explaining
ourselves. You are right. That is correct.
We are right. Ra was asked specifically... why the ratio of male to female orgasms are so heavily loaded on the side of the male. You're just nodding. Yeah. You agree?
Yeah. Well, what's the answer?
It's a why fair do question. You?
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? I would like to know the answer as well.
It gets into this concept that they also have of like colored rays of light that affect how beings operate, and we are apparently a red ray species.
All of us?
All of us, because it means that we need to propagate as humanity. Like the red rays make us want to have more offspring, essentially. Okay. To quote Ra, to achieve that red ray value, men need to orgasm, which means the female orgasm is unnecessary.
So basically, this is no different than modern day science, pretty much up until like 20 years ago, which also thought the female orgasm was, you know, unnecessary.
Alternatively, maybe that's where the science comes from.
Okay, I take your point.
But to go back to that veil concept, Ra tries to throw a bone to women everywhere by saying that the veil that was that separation of our subconscious and conscious minds, before that happened, the ratio of male to female orgasms was roughly 1-to-1, as the metaphysical value of the female orgasm was clear and without shadow. Clear and without shadow. And I think what the implication there is that orgasms cause energy to be shared with each other. So we were uniting. It was returning to this concept of oneness. Yeah. But then we developed a subconscious brain or separated that out. And now it's just about men having babies.
Yeah. You know, really, for the first three quarters, you really had me into this. it's really devolved. The law of one. It just sounds like, you know, a weird way to dress up your homophobia and misogyny and call it enlightenment.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. But I mean, there's the community. Like, I think there's this draw from these people because they see that first surface contact, which is how you saw it, right? Which is this idea that, oh, we're all one person or one being. We need to love each other. We need, because we're loving ourselves by doing so. And
which is the foundation of like just about any, not right. just religion, but like unifying like group. It tends to be like some theme around commonality and oneness.
Yeah, and that theory of, that theory of how we are bound to each other. Which, yeah, I agree. It's fundamentally that. Trying to tackle that same truth, but it takes a wildly left turn. Like as soon as we get to the Confederation of Planets, and then we keep going past Bigfoot and UFOs. But
so does like the modern day following, is it all just people talking online, or is there like a leader, like a current, like is there an equivalent of like the Pope, or I don't know. I'm like equating this to a religion. Pope. I mean, I guess you haven't called it a religion. I feel like it is a religion.
I don't know that they would call it a religion, but they
call it a law.
They call it the law of one. So it seems like, I think Carla Rucker, you know, post Dawn's passing, Carla was more or less the figurehead of the movement, right? And she, like, we didn't get into it, but she, over the decades past the raw messaging, was communicating with other entities of different densities and like continuing to expound on this knowledge of the universe and what the Confederation of Planets wants to tell us through these very unheard of people that none of us know about. But after she died, or I guess it parallel to kind of the end of her life, there was, you know, just other people who are attempting to channel and communicate with these same beings. And there's a lot of debate in the community, at least what I was seeing on their subreddit, as well as on the actual like forums of, they have, you know, their own website where all this takes place too. There's debate of who is really doing it and who is there, you know, selling snake oil. Right.
Right.
And so even within their own community, there's a lot of doubt and just like mistrust and inability to decipher like what seems logically consistent with a way of talking about the universe that is apparently everything is logically consistent and what seems out of place. I don't know that there's a formal leader at this point so much as there are just people trying to take ownership and lead it. I mean, I don't compare it to Scientology in the sense of like Scientology is minus the fact they're going to probably audit me now, but like, you know, Scientology is very, very deliberately oriented around, say financial, right. There's financial reasons, right, for them. They sell, like, these folks, the Law of One, they sell a book, but you can also read it all online for free. So like profit doesn't appear to be the same motive, right? It doesn't seem as strictly tied to that. So it's hard for me to tell like what exactly is the rationale for the people who are kind of running the group beyond, you know, devout belief. But
right. Well, I'm surprised. Like it's, I mean, it only has like the subreddit only has 4,000 members, but it's like, obscure, but yes, but it's like actively engaged with, like every comment has like a lot of upvotes and comments on it. So it's like, it's a small group, but they're active.
That's what I feel like I want to be careful that in the sense of like, obviously I think it's a little bit loony. And that's probably Kate McGrath and that was talking about it, but like as a group of people, you know, they are eminently positive with each other. And to your point, like they are very engaging with each other and, you know, you don't see the infighting that you do with larger communities, right? At least not as frequently. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out what word, but not harmless, but like, it's something that like, I think what a lot of people are taking away from it is less the explicit teachings of Ra and more just that Eastern spiritualism.
The philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the Law of One. I'm going to apologize for our technical difficulties with my microphone. I think we've sorted it out, so we should be good for future episodes. Brenna has also promised to not have an edible before future recordings, so she can actually maintain a conversation. If you have an obscure subculture you think we should know about, or generally just want to tell us about your encounters with psychic beings from outer space, you can reach out to us. We're on Instagram, @SubscurityPodcast. Our Twitter handle is @SubscurityPod, and our website is subscurity.com. Our intro and outro is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.